Friday, January 19th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, with an impending government shutdown and the made-for-TV drama of American politics eclipsing everything else, Congress reauthorizes the NSA spying program, bills are being proposed to spray cannabis with isotopic nanotechnology to track it, war is brewing in Syria once again, and Congress is claiming to have a FISA memo that could end the Mueller investigation and even send people to jail. So let's get into it. Starting with articles from yesterday, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, Senate votes to reauthorize NSA spying program. While most congressional observers are focused on the battle to avert a weekend government shutdown, the Senate on Thursday quietly passed an extension of the NSA surveillance program, sending the bill to the president's desk a week after the House voted to authorize the controversial plan. Even President Trump voiced skepticism about reauthorizing the bill in a tweet earlier this year, where he claimed that it helped the Obama administration spy on the Trump campaign, although he infamously flip-flopped later, which happens quite often. There's quite a lot to be discussed in regard to this issue, and Derek Brose has done an excellent job covering this entire topic and the ramifications behind it, so I'll make sure to include some of his links in the show notes below. But the main point for me always comes back to the simple idea that the people do not want this, despite them being told it is important for security and safety, yet it happens anyway. Yet again, showing us that what the people want is simply not a factor in these discussions. It's also important to note that the people were lied to about this for years until it was exposed and verifiably had zero effect in making people any safer, only giving them less freedom at the end of the day. So this is one we need to continue to keep an eye on and really object. We need to continue to speak out and call your local legislators and let them know how much you disagree with something like this. As little effect as that has today, but it's important to continue to work from your local area outward. But just this kind of thing continues to happen where we see that regardless of what the masses truly call for, it doesn't matter. It's always done for the greater idea of our protection, really ultimately telling us they know what's best for us, despite what we want. Moving on to the next story coming out of activistpost.com, new Colorado bill could implement nanotechnology to track legal cannabis. Colorado lawmakers have introduced a new bill, SB 18029, which would require the development of marijuana tracking technology to help law enforcement distinguish between legal and illegally purchased cannabis. According to the text of the bill, it will require the Institute of Cannabis Research at Colorado State University to develop cannabis tracking technology. The bill calls for the development of an, quote, agent that can be applied to cannabis plants or products, industrial hemp or industrial hemp products. The cannabis or hemp product would then be scanned by another device, which would indicate whether the cannabis was cultivated, manufactured, or sold by a licensed marijuana business or registered hemp cultivator. They're quoted in saying, "The General Assembly finds and declares that the technology will benefit Colorado by increasing the ability of law enforcement to properly enforce Colorado marijuana laws, which in turn will enhance the regulated marijuana market by differentiating between legal and illegal marijuana and protect state revenue from unregulated marijuana sales." The actual text of the bill reveals more details about what exactly constitutes an agent and what kind of tracking technology might be employed in pursuit of catching gray and black market users and dealers. As noted, the bill will require cannabis and hemp dealers to insert unique and traceable identifiers into legal, medical, and retail cannabis and industrial hemp. But what would this technology look like? According to the text of the bill, the Institute may determine whether the marijuana tracking technology should be nanotechnology, isotopic, chemical, or biological identifiers, or available technology, or a combination of any technologies. You did hear that right. The Colorado bill for tracking legal cannabis purchases may use nanotechnology or isotopic, chemical, or biological identifiers. So the real question is, what does this mean for your health? Will there be any risks associated with smoking or ingesting this new nanotechnology weed? It's something that we need to continue to ask ourselves. And I really ultimately always come to the point where history has shown us quite clearly that our health and the effects these things have on our body are typically the least considered factor. It always has to do with profit and convenience. And so this is very alarming to me. I mean, the idea of GMO cannabis comes to mind, which we've talked about a lot in the past, and how we know this stuff is taking place despite the fact that people don't want it to happen. And really just the idea of government control around this market. That's what this always comes back to me, is we always talk about decriminalization versus legalization, right? Because legalization is basically allowing the government in another backward way to control the very thing we're fighting to free. And this is what this seems like to me, a very freakishly authoritarian step here in regard to cannabis that should be very alarming to us all. I mean, the simple idea that we're spraying something isotopic nanotechnology on some cannabis that's going to be ingested, I mean, that's alarming in and of itself, but the control factor there has to be addressed. So we'll continue to follow this story and make sure we update you on what happens. Going into the next story coming out of theantimedia.org, why the U.S. wants 30,000 troops on Syria's border with Turkey. For some time now, Russia, Turkey, and Iran have been implementing peace processes of their own in Syria without Washington's input. And as we just saw in response to the North-South Korean peace talks, the U.S. has quite a juvenile habit of ignoring productive talks in which it's not included. After the fall of Aleppo in 2016, Iran, Russia, and Turkey have essentially emerged as the real power brokers in Syria, even in light of the fact that they all have opposing interests regarding the fate of the future state of the country. Turkey, for example, has heavily invested in anti-Assad rebels in a bid to oust Syrian President Assad from power, while Russia and Iran, on the other hand, are Syria's staunchest backers. Despite this, Russia, Turkey, and Iran have all managed to work together to reach some sort of compromise. Even the Syrian government's recently launched offensive in the Idlib province, which is diametrically opposed to Turkey's interests, still did not put a dent in Turkey's growing relationship with Iran. Erdogan came directly to Iran's aid during the recent Trump administration's attempts to exploit the protests in Iran. This relationship is, by all accounts, a deal breaker for Washington, which is becoming increasingly irrelevant across the geopolitical chessboard. This is ultimately one of the core reasons why the U.S. wants to build a Turkish force across Turkey's border and rattle Turkey into issuing a response of its own into Russian-controlled areas. And this is precisely what the U.S. wants, to disrupt the growing relationship between Turkey, Russia, and Iran and turn these players against each other by putting them in a compromising position. If Turkey does nothing in response to the Kurdish force, it will undoubtedly risk its territorial integrity by having a Kurdish state on its borders, which it refuses to tolerate. If it does attempt to launch an operation in Syria without Moscow's approval, putting Russian personnel at risk, it will strain the relationship between the two countries in the not-too-distant future. It's a lose-lose for Turkey, but a win-win for the United States, which, by all means, is hell-bent on destroying any chance for peace in Syria and prolonging the violence as long as possible. This is all about manipulating the growing peace in the area and disrupting relationships between Russia, Iran, and Turkey, which brings to mind a recent false flag attack that seems aimed at accomplishing that very same end, the drone attack on Russia's air bases. There's far too much connecting these events to pretend they are not related. This is absolutely something we need to keep an eye on, and regardless of the end result, we need to remember that despite all of its proclamations of fighting for peace, the U.S. is the obvious provocateur in this case, as it often is. And moving on into today's news, Turkish troops mass on Syrian border, preparing advance on U.S.-backed Kurds. Coming out of geopoliticsalert.com, we are really seeing this play out right in front of us. But we must hope that this does not dissolve the positive effects being made thus far by those actually fighting for peace. We'll continue to report on any updates in this story as it develops, but this is one that I think is going to continue to get worse if we can't see some kind of a connection made between Russia, Turkey, and Iran. And, you know, really the larger idea there of trying to accomplish peace in the area. But as we always try to note, this does not mean that these countries are inherently positive in and of their own right. They're out to do the same kind of things. But it's important to note that the provocateur here is very much the United States government. So the main story of today, when I wrote on this morning, FISA memo to be released, people will go to jail and could end Mueller investigation. Now, having just voted to reauthorize the highly controversial and overtly unconstitutional FISA Act, we're now being told that Congress is in possession of a four-page memo detailing extensive FISA court abuse. There's a lot of speculation being floated in regard to this memo, as words such as explosive, shocking, and alarming are being thrown around. Some partisan networks and journalists are even claiming this could lead to the removal of senior FBI and DOJ officials, and as we said, even the end of the Mueller investigation altogether. But at this point, the memo itself has not been made public. So any speculation, especially coming from mainstream media and their unnamed sources who have claimed to have read the memo, should be taken with a large grain of salt. They're quoted in saying, the document shows a troubling course of conduct, and we need to make the document available so the public can see it. Once the public sees it, we can hold the people involved accountable in a number of ways. Some of these people should no longer be in the government. Florida Representative Matt Gaetz said he believes that people should lose their jobs or worse if the memo is released, and refers to DOJ officials Rod Rosenstein and Bruce Ohr, quoted in saying, "I believe the consequences of its release will be major changes in people currently working in the FBI and the Department of Justice." Quote, "People will go to jail." Pending a committee vote and barring any objections from the White House within the 5 days of the vote, the memo could be released to the public. But we must refrain from any further speculation or reaching connections to other popular theories until we have more to go on, as it is still very possible, even with all the hype, that the public may never see the memo's contents. It's prudent not to jump to conclusions here, especially when all the people have to go on are the words of the very same corrupt politicians and overtly biased mainstream media outlets. We all no doubt want to see those involved held accountable for their abuses of power and manipulation of the system in which many still put their faith. But as long as we have nothing more to go on than anonymous insider sources and the words of those deeply embedded in the system, we must act responsibly and demand full transparency. I mean, that has to be the overarching point here. I reported on this morning. It's very important. It seems very relevant. But we're running on a lot of speculation from the very people we should be doubting today, especially looking at our very recent history. So we need to move forward very carefully with this and continue to report things that we can prove. Really, we need to begin to call out these anonymous sources and unverified claims, because far too many today are simply trusting those who have manipulated us in the past due to the hope that what we want to see is coming to pass. We even have a story coming out today from a Republican lawmaker, Scott Perry, telling reporters, actually Tucker Carlson, that he has evidence ISIS may be involved in the deadly Las Vegas shooting. May be involved. But during his interview, Perry said that he was recently given credible evidence to suggest that the Islamic State forces infiltrated the southern U.S. border and were somehow involved in the Vegas incident. It's important to remember that ISIS did claim responsibility to this right afterward, but we're in very dangerous times where almost everyone is out to manipulate or use any given situation to further their agenda. And in many cases, some of these people may truly believe that they're doing a good thing and being dishonest for a just cause, if you will, but being dishonest nonetheless. Today, this is consuming even the best outlets with this kind of backward logic that they're not playing by the rules, so why should we? Well, there's a very slippery slope there, and there's an easy answer to that. It's because we must be better than them. Otherwise, what are we fighting for? It's important to remember that the means never justify the ends. That is what many tell themselves, yet to sacrifice one's integrity and morals simply to win, even at a righteous cause, makes us no better than the ones we are fighting to change. That's a good note to end on there. So remember, we need to continue to stay positive and only report on what we can actually prove. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.